HarperCollins presents The Dead Good Detectives by Jenny McLachlan, read by Katherine Walker Booth. Chapter 1. I'm sitting in the graveyard with my best friend, Zen, when he spots a ghost. "It's over there," he says, "in that tree." It's not a ghost, it's a plastic bag. But I don't say this to Zen. Instead, I fix him with a serious look and say, "Let's get it." We jump off the bench and run through the graveyard, laughing as we dodge between the graves. Out at sea, thunder rumbles and dark clouds cover the sky like a blanket. There's a storm coming, but we don't care. We've got a ghost to catch. While Zen leaps around, his shirt untucked and his shoelaces undone, I find a long stick and start whacking the bag. Eventually it floats to the ground and Zen snatches it up. "Is it dead?" I ask. Zen rolls his eyes. "Sid, it's a ghost. Of course it's dead." But it turns out it isn't, because suddenly it attacks me and it doesn't stop until I pull the bag off Zen's hand and stuff it in my pocket. Ghost hunt over, we go back to doing what we always do after school. Sitting on the bench, eating crisps, and making up stories about the people buried in the graveyard. "Okay," I say, nibbling on a what's-it. "So Iris Tiddy over there was famous for her pilchard pasties, and she was going out with Harry Thompson." I pointed a headstone, with "Harry Thompson, gone fishing," engraved on it. "She loved him because he caught the biggest pilchards in town." "It was an unusual relationship," says Zen, "because Harry was born 110 years after Iris died." I laugh, but my voice is drowned out by an enormous clap of thunder. It's followed by a flash of lightning. "Awesome," I say, as goosebumps prickle my arms. "Zen, can you smell the lightning?" "I can't smell anything," he says. "I'm too scared." And that's when I notice he's huddled down inside his hoodie. Zen's been scared of storms ever since his dad told him about this man who's been struck by lightning 7 times. "Wow, it smells amazing," I say. "Like snow and sparklers mixed together." "I'll take your word for it," he says. Then we watch as the black clouds roll closer. Soon, fat drops of rain are speckling my face and glasses. When another bolt of lightning lights up the sky, Zen decides he's had enough. "I'm going home," he says, grabbing his rucksack. "You coming?" "No, I'll stay for a bit longer."
"Suit yourself," says Zen.
Then he runs down through the graveyard, pretending to be struck by lightning 7 times as he goes. I join in too, and when he finally disappears through the gates, I'm lying on the path. I pick myself up and sit on the bench. And then, everything is quiet. I keep very still, watching and listening. Snails stretch their way across wet headstones, rain falls and birds peck at the gravel. Water drips from the trees and the stream bubbles past me towards the sea. I watch all this, then get up and wander along twisty paths, trailing my fingers over lichen and picking my way between headstones that stick out of the ground like teeth. Some have fallen over completely and are lying, half buried, under moss and mud. But not my mum's grave. That's perfect. The best in the whole graveyard. I crouch in front of it and clear away some dead leaves. Dad made it himself by carving all mum's favourite things into a tree stump. There's an owl, a fox, shells, beetles, and a lightsaber. There's even a shark's fin rising out of the top. I touch the fin each time I visit, and now it's smooth and shiny. Not only is Mum's head stump, as Dad insists on calling it, the best in the graveyard, it's also got the best view. From up here I can see all of Fathom, the narrow streets and ice cream coloured houses, the seafront with its harbour wall that stretches out to sea like a giant snake. I can even see the model village where, right now, I know Dad will be sitting inside the red-roofed kiosk, tidying up souvenirs.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?